Maria Yonofi, who is a lecturer of economics and finance at the Tasmanian School of Business and Economics from the University of Tasmania, joins me to discuss more. So, Maria, what were some of the findings from the research which you conducted from the period of 2003 to 2009?
Yeah, that's right. So what we found, Eleanor, is, as you said, we describe what the typical real estate investor in Australia looks like. So most of them are men. They are 40 years old, around 40 years old. Most of them are married. So even though the main investor is a man, it could be an investment together with their wife. They have an average annual net income of $103,000, but if we exclude a few of the top most wealthy investors, the average annual net income is $79,000, and some of them are professionals. They work in management positions. They are small business owners, and we find that actually 27% of them, which is a significant proportion, are self-employed. So they may be self-employed professionals, for example. But most importantly, these investment, residential investment activity, is not their main income source. It's not their main business activity.
So you have sort of mum and dad type investors with this.
That's right. Then we explore, as you were saying, where they invested. So we found that they mainly invest in existing housing, which is very common in Australia. So very few investors dare to build new property or buy new property. They would buy older property and maybe renovate it or things like that. And most interestingly, we found that they are investing a considerable proportion of them are investing in rural and regional areas. So, of course, we found that residential investors are putting their money in big metropolitan cities like Sydney and Melbourne, but we were surprised to also find that a big proportion of them are investing in rural and regional areas. And what is most interesting is that they dare to invest their money in these regions, even if they don't live in those places. So we found that 11% of our residential investors buy property in other states to the state where they live, for example, and almost 50% of the residential investors buy property in a different postcode to where they live.
So has residential property investment always been an integral part of the banking and mortgage system in Australia?
Well, yes, it has. It has been increasing considerably. So from the beginning of the 20th century, maybe residential investment would represent a little bit over 20% of all housing finance commitments, so basically all loans taken to buy property. But that proportion has been increasing from the 2000s and onwards. And for example, around 2014, it reached 38%. It reached a high peak. And at the moment, as you were saying in your introduction, it's close to 32%, 35%. So it has been trending up.
So, to what extent do you believe real estate investors view property and residential investment as a form of secure income? Are there certain systems financially and economically in Australia that are in place that are enabling that perception or even like that incentive?
Some of the reasons why investors, or actually, as you were saying, mom and dad, decide to invest in real estate property, it may be because it looks like a secure long-term investment. So we all have heard this idea of the brick-and-mortar investment. It's going to be there. It's not going to disappear. And clearly, after the global financial crisis and markets around the world being, share markets, and financial markets around the world being very affected, a lot of people may have lost money in their shares, in their superannuation, and they thought, okay, it's better to put my money in brick and mortar rather than in the financial markets. So that could be one reason why people were leaning towards housing more since the late 2000s, but also because real estate can give you a source of permanent income, a secure income, if you decide to rent the property. Now, in Australia, the landlord rights are much more beneficial than in Europe, for example, or the opposite, the tenant rights are less than in other countries, and therefore it's less costly for real estate investors to just have a property and rent it to other people. But also, some people may invest in real estate because they are expecting not to rent a house for a long period of time, but to buy it and turn it around and in 1 or 2 years' time resell it at a higher price. So basically, they are speculating on the capital gains they can make on the property.
Oh, yeah. So, like, the type of, you know, the people that you see in newspapers sometimes, they have, like, probably a portfolio of 16 houses. They're doing that kind of thing.
That's right. Exactly. So, but maybe even people with smaller portfolios that, you know, they may, for example, buy a house, invest a little bit and renovate it on it, renovate it, and then try to make a profit in 1 or 2 years. So if you look at house prices and the trend of house prices over the new century, for example, the 2000s, then you will see that house prices have been going up, and we all know that. So it makes sense for people to think, okay, I can buy a house, maybe invest a little bit on it, renovate it, and if I resell it in 1 or 2 years, I'll probably make a profit on top of it, and I won't lose money. But that's obviously because we have been seeing a growth in house prices. That growth hasn't been Australia-wide. Clearly, it's stronger in the capital cities, and but it varies a lot across rural and regional areas of Australia.
Okay. And so what is mortgage finance, and how does it motivate real estate and residential property investment?
Yeah, so in terms of mortgage finance, so it's the idea of accessing finance in order to be able to purchase that property. And before the global financial crisis, banks had more lax regulation requirements and also conditions to access finance. So it has been easier for people to come to the bank and get financing based on their income, based on their wealth, based on how long they have been working at a full-time or part-time work, etc. However, that changed a little bit after the global financial crisis. So basically, one of the reasons why you may want to become an investor or not may depend on whether you can access the finance to purchase that property and whether the finance paying the interest that you have to pay back to the bank is higher or lower than the profit that you're going to make from renting or reselling the property you're buying.